one mu'min, believer with faith, with iman, whose objective of his whole life is to please Allah. So for that pleasure of Allah, in order to please Allah, he tries to please Allah. He tries, makes effort. Now there's a question that we keep on trying, alhamdulillah. Every Muslim tries this very thing. Then how will Allah become pleased? That's the question. Obviously, if a person's trying and he's bringing that effort into his mind, he's trying, then generally we understand one principle, that to please Allah, the method, that is this, that a human being does good deeds, good practices. He prays salah, namaz, he keeps fasts, he does hajj, he does umrah, he recites, does tilawat, Quran, he does dhikr, he does good deeds, sadaqah, charity, zakah. All of these amal deeds we do for this reason, so that Allah becomes happy with us, pleased with us, because Allah is pleased via good deeds, righteous actions. So these amal, all life long we try to do them as much as we can, so that we can, through our amal, please our Rabb, Lord. Obviously these amal, there's one thing we see, the noor, the light, the noor of salah, how great it is. Every sajda is enough. Each sajda is enough, alhamdulillah. If one prostration is done with sincerity, even that's a great asset for your forgiveness. Every amal has noor, light, within it. We can't see that noor in this world. What is the noor in our amal? But alhamdulillah, that light of the deeds is present. When a person, the human being, will depart from this world, then this is the noor that assists that human being. It will illuminate the grave. Salah will illuminate the grave. The sujood, the prostrations we will have carried out, he will see in the grave, the grave's illuminated, lit up. Look at the grave. What is the grave? Darkness. It squeezes a person in the coffin. But when the insan goes in the grave, you'll say, oh, it's a different world I'm in. My salahs come as noor, light, sparkling, his salah. And he'll see gardens and orchards in his grave. Different place, scenery. When he gets up on the plane of resurrection, Hashar, the people, the dead people will get up from the graves. You've heard and seen, read what the conditions will be. But the noor, the light of his amal, will easily allow him to get up. Easily, the noor will be continuing on the day of resurrection. And then across the bridge of Sirat as well. Rabbana atmimna noorana. The Allah, the noor, the light. Today, bring it in front of us. Complete it. The bridge of Sirat, such a place, dangerous place. Bridge of Sirat, darkness. It will be sharper than a sword and thin, the bridge of Sirat, and the darkness intensity beneath is hell. Then how will we get across that? What will assist us to get across? Noor. With us will be the noor of these deeds. So all of this is very good effort and trying and working hard, mashallah, to live the life with deeds, good deeds. But one thing we need to definitely understand, and we definitely should understand and think about this, that look, not just through these deeds will we get success. The reason for this is, what is the reason? That amal, righteous deeds, they do create the noor, the light, and the light does come. But, what we need to think about and ponder about and focus on is that these amal, our deeds, our actions, if they remain existent, then they will give the light, if the light remains. What happens is that through these, in the opposite to these amal, that is very dangerous indeed. And that is the real point through which Allah is pleased. That is what Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased about, and through that our deeds are saved. And that is a person who rejects ma'asiyat, to shun the sins, to save oneself from the sins, to not perform sins, to not commit any sins. This is the real crux of the matter, which will earn Allah's pleasure. Why? Because sins, we are doing deeds, the nur is there, but as soon as we perform a sin, commit a sin, then it extinguishes the light of that amal. Allah says, لا تبطلوا أموال. Allah says that you annihilate, you eliminate the light of your deeds. For example, if somebody prays tahajjud, salah, on top of that, when he does sin, then the amal of his, the action, it loses its light, intensity, and it evaporates. In the hadith it stated that when a person commits a sin, then that sin goes, and where does it affect? It affects his heart and becomes a dot, darkness on his heart. Then he commits a sin again, then that darkness spreads again. Then he commits a sin, the darkness spreads again. To this extent, the condition becomes such that his qalb, his heart, becomes black like coal, like a black stone. Now we are not avoiding sins. We are not avoiding sins, and we perform righteous acts. So tell me, then what will be left to that person? It's a very dangerous situation. Why? Because there's another issue on top of that, which is nafs, which deceives us in a dangerous way. It gives us a severe deception. The nafs, for example, somebody's done hajj, umrah, he's returned. After they becomes lazy, oh, I've done hajj, I've done umrah, I'm a pilgrim. He thinks, sin is small, it's alright, I'll pass, it's khair, it's okay. He says, it's okay. For example, I've done a righteous act, good deed. After that, the importance of sin, shaitan diminishes that, devalues that. Oh, you've woken up all night long, you've prayed, you've kept fast, you've done this action, you've worshipped. And then he gives him a false sense of security. It doesn't matter if you commit a sin, it's okay, don't worry about it. What happens? Then due to that sin, those deeds that we've done, they are wasted, they are lost. And to this extent, we will see, to this extent, that sin, guna, is such a dangerous action, is such a dangerous thing. Then thereafter, when a person will present all of his good deeds, he'll be hunting his deeds, he won't be able to find his deeds. He will have wasted them in advance through the sins, due to the sins. So right track, a human being needs to work hard on the right track. Principles, more important than amal, righteous deeds, good deeds, is focus on the sins. More than practicing good deeds, focus on the sins. If you've done an amal, then think, how do I protect this amal I've done? How do I protect the deeds I've just committed? Practice, how do you protect yourself when, on opposite to that, you don't commit any sin? Don't commit any sin. Subhanallah. If we commit a sin, then that sin, shaitan will present it to me, us, as a light, because we are hajis, ghazis, I'm pious, I pray salah, I've achieved. This is a small sin, what's this? So what if I've said something to somebody? What difference does it make if I said something to somebody? Oh, it doesn't make any difference. That's what we say. It doesn't make any difference. Oh, it's a big deception though, this. And today, in this era, this is the biggest issue we have today in this day and age. That sins, we are so working hard on the sins, we are committing the sins so regularly that whilst a person's committing a sin, that human being doesn't even know he's committing a sin. Very easy to commit a sin for a human being. And today, there's such a sin. May Allah Ta'ala forgive all of us and save us from that. That in doing that sin is very easy, very simple, and In terms of punishment, severe punishment for that sin. Severe punishment for that sin. It's a bad sin. But this moment in time, shaitan has made it so easy for us to commit that sin. That it's so easy to implement that sin. And it's so severe that its punishment that has been explained to us. But the person who commits that sin in Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam, his mouth, his face will be burnt with the fire of hell. And his face, his mouth, it will continue to burn with the fire of hell. This is the punishment of that sin. And it's so easy to do that sin that don't even ask, a person does it just like that, suddenly. What is that sin? Look, today, in this era, it's very easy. For this reason, I'm requesting you, alhamdulillah, we need to make effort on this point to get out of this deception and delusion that we're in. And that is the evil gaze, looking incorrectly with the eyes, not protecting the gaze, not protecting the eyesight, looking what we're looking at. Look, that we do big deeds during the day, but have you ever been careful and thought about being careful about where your gaze is going and how easy is it to commit? Don't even think about it. We will do zikr now and depart, we'll do ibadah, depart, we'll go. You just have to do is take your phone out for a second in your hand. Oh, I'm going to look at the news. Oh, I'm going to look at this. And then the gaze will fall in the wrong place and the mounds of sins will be accumulated. So what answer will we give to Allah about this? But this thing, remember this point, that it's not that in this day and age it's too hard to save ourselves. No, it's not hard. No. If today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spread that sin out, then the reward for the people of today, Allah has given so much reward if we stay away. When the noble companions, when Rasulullah stated to the Sahaba ikram, the people who will come after you, when they do amal on one sunnah, they'll get the reward of 100 shaheed. They were surprised. On one sunnah, Ya Rasulullah, 100 shaheed thawab, because they knew what was the reward of one shaheed. And they said, 100 shaheed thawab reward they will get for the sunnah implementation. Imagine. And on one sunnah, just on one sunnah, reviving it. So how easy it is. And that was maybe small in number, but for us, what a big reward for one action. But because we are so far from the reality that we don't understand the reality, we don't even know how to put the shoes on. We don't know how to put the socks on. We don't know how to wear the qameez. What's the methodology? How to take the qameez off, the shirt. All these actions in this, Allah's instilled a lot of thawab. Tell me. So this is not the case that in this day and age we're lost out and we can't succeed. No, it's the fact is we don't try. We don't make it. Oh, I pray to Allah. That's enough. Oh, I've done this action. I've done this worship and that worship. But we don't focus on the point that the sin, how many sins are we committing in parallel? So the pious predecessors have stated, that our elders, that do amal, practice good deeds, worship. Yes, obviously, but alongside worship and righteous deeds, you have to also prepare fully to save your deeds. Just like you're working hard and you're trying to shun shaitan and attacks from the other angle. Yes, look, the evil gaze, looking wrongfully with the eyes, what a big sin. And so easy, every person does it, woman or man, today. Everyone, big sin, this is looking wrongly with the eyes. Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that the evil gaze, the wrong gaze, using the eyes incorrectly is such a bad sin that Rasulullah said that Allah Ta'ala stated, and he stated this on this point, that your eyesight, looking at the wrong thing, what is this sin? This is shaitan, it's an arrow from the arrows of shaitan. It is an arrow from the arrows of shaitan, which has the tip is got poison. So it's an arrow with a poisonous tip. So it's not just because even an arrow on its own is enough to finish off a human being. But this is not just an arrow. It's a poison tipped arrow. It's been immersed in poison. So the destruction due to this arrow is a fact. Whoever uses his gaze eyesight wrongfully, then the arrow of shaitan pierces him and spiritually he dies. When a person commits the sin of the eyes, then spiritually he has died. He has died. His spiritual goodness is ended. And we've been told this. So tell me how cautious and careful we should be with regards to the gaze. Is this not deceptive? That's what we say today. I pray salah, I don't enjoy myself. I do good deeds, I don't enjoy myself. I do dhikr, I don't enjoy myself. I do amal, I don't enjoy myself. I've got so much wasawis, whispering of shaitan. I'm distressed. I don't feel like practicing. I don't feel like doing things. I'm not enjoying myself. In every amal, every action, we have a complaint and a doubt. There's one reason for that today. There's only one reason, that our hearts are dark due to the sins. Such a big sin, after committing such a big sin, a person comes to pray salah, tell me, then what will be his hal spiritually, his condition? How desperate we are to correct this. So Allah's Nabi said, Allah Ta'ala said that the evil gaze, looking wrong in the wrong way with your eyes, it is an arrow of shaitan, and it's an arrow with a poisonous tip. And whoever's done this, Allah Ta'ala, Rasulullah said that Allah Ta'ala said, that out of my fear, whoever saved himself from the evil gaze,
looking in, with his eyes in the wrong way. Whoever, out of my fear, Allah says, has saved his eyesight, then it's stated what a great reward Allah Ta'ala is giving. That person will get the best iman, the best grade of iman. The best grade of iman, and he will feel the taste of that iman. Subhanallah. What a great field we have in front of us, open playing field. But we try to become pious ourselves, automatically self-made pious. I do dhikr, I'm working hard, I'm following the sunnah. My friends, be careful, be careful. Don't fall into the trap of nafs. Alhamdulillah, you are going after the right destination, good actions, right track you're on the right path. But also listen to these words when they explain to you. Not just make yourself deluded, I do so much dhikr, so many tasbihs. No. Everything put into the minus account. The how many sins have I committed? When you put the ticks or the marks on the sheets, then as you're assessing yourself at the end of the day, when there's a cross due to a sin, then you shouldn't, I mean, give you the sheets, I'll just tick them all and send them off. Sit down and cry, I committed this sin. Then all of my wealth of the day is gone down the drain. Think about it. That's why this assessment sheets have been given to all of us, that after committing sin, when you put a cross, that today I have killed off my deeds, and we have no effect. We just mark the sheets and go to sleep. How can you go to sleep? If, for example, you kill someone in the world, and he says, oh, I've just taken someone's life, and he sleeps. How can he do that? How? If you've done such an amal, about which Allah Ta'ala has stated clearly, that he will burn in the fire of Jahannam, and his face will burn, and his face will continue to burn in hell. Then think, ponder of the sin. How did I commit this sin? But even then, the next day we put the cross again. Then the third day we put the cross again. It become a game. Repetitive. It's a joke. Made it a joke. Tell me. What hard work is this then, if we're doing this? Don't take badly what I'm saying negatively, please. Please. This is what we're here for. Why have we got the assessment sheets? Self-reflection. Why is this method being shared out? Look, we've got less time today. The time to come, I'm repeating again, it's very severe. Very severe. Every action will be accounted for. We say, I prayed salah. Brothers, have we got the salah still today in our account? Sheets or no? I'm telling you, hadith. Are those salah still intact? Clearly Allah said that if out of my fear Allah says, if you protect your gaze and don't look at the wrong things with your eyes, yes, and then it's not impossible for us. Allah says at the same time, there's such a big sin, evil gaze, and it's very common today, but Allah says it cannot be that, for example, if you say you want to save yourself from the sin of the evil gaze, and you try to, and you make effort to leave that sin, then can a human being commit that sin again? Impossible, he cannot. If you've got that feeling that this cross, I'm putting my sheets, and again I've crossed it again, the whole month I keep putting the cross for this sin, then I'm sending this to my sheikh as a feedback, as my report, Allahu Akbar. Then hopefully it's that person is deceased, spiritually. You should think, reflect, how did I commit this sin? Allah, I recite your name, I do your dhikr, I pray tahajjud, morning and evening I sit in your dhikr, and I wear the burqa, says the sister, and people call me a pious woman, they call me this, and I'm good. How did I commit this sin? Backbiting I do? That I have consumed the flesh of my real brother today by backbiting? Quran has said this. Backbiting, when you backbite and put the cross on the sheet, then today you haven't eaten roast chicken. You haven't eaten roast meat. What have you eaten? The Quran says, today you have eaten your real brother. You've eaten his flesh. You've cooked them and eaten them. It wasn't chicken. Look at this. So how much of our feelings have been evaporated? Every day we put the cross on the sheets. Evil gaze, we put the cross. The wrong use of the eyes. What's Allah Ta'ala saying? How severe a result that person will see due to that sin. Of the evil gaze in the hadith in which is stated, Abu Umama radiallahu anhu is narrated in Hakim Tabarani, this hadith, Allahu Akbar, that to yourself, your gaze, stop it, Allah says, control your gaze, and control and protect your private parts, otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spoil your faces, disfigure your faces. What a big hadith. Your faces will be disfigured. Now here, if this waswasa comes to your mind, everyone in the world's doing it. I haven't seen anyone's face being disfigured or spoilt. Yes, their faces are disfigured. When they will wake up on the day of judgment, people, or they'll go to the grave, then they will go with that face that this hadith is saying now. They will have dogs and cats faces. The sin that's being prescribed in this hadith, spiritually, their faces become like that. Spiritually, the hadith has told us, is their faces become like that. At least we've got belief like this, and we're going to iman that what Allah and His Rasul said, that has happened. If we don't have yaqeen, then where's our kalama gone? Shahada. Tell me, where's the shahada gone if we don't believe this hadith? Tell me. So the faces are spoilt and disfigured already if the sin is committed. Yes? Now if we see that all of the sins, when a person starts to commit sins, there's a system. There's a system, a cycle. Goes to the heart, commits a sin, goes to the heart. The heart gives a message to the brain, and then the brain gives instruction to the body. Where does it start from? Where does it start from? From the eyes. The eyes. Eyes, then he goes to zina, physical. Physical, zina. Yes, he sees someone, message goes to the heart. In the hadith is stated, shaitan, that every gaze, evil gaze, he's focusing and paying attention on that human being. It makes him mad. The whole ummah, these are the words of the hadith, with full hope on every gaze he sat. He said, that let me focus him, I want to spoil his gaze. When he looks here, I want to spoil his gaze. Take him towards the wrong gaze. I'm going to spoil him. I'm going to annihilate him. And he sat on the gaze of the person. His whole army, that his gaze, spoil it. Finish it. Eliminate. Just make him look at haram. Woman or man. Make him look at haram. Then leave the rest of me. How I inject waswasa into him. Then he looks with the gaze in the wrong way. Then after that, shaitan creates the waswasa into his heart. Pierces the heart with the evil thought, whisper. Then all of that brews up, and then the instruction is given to the mind, and the body reacts. The message comes to the brain, So eyes, to the heart, to the brain. He starts thinking about that dirty action. Then his thinking changes, and he starts thinking about dirty things, evil things, impure things, thoughts. He's praying salah, thinking evil, impure, dirty things. I'm praying salah, I'm doing ibadah. What does that? It becomes our mode of operation, becomes a sin for us. And where is it taking him? The whole message has been given that you need to commit the sin. Then to the extent in the hadith it is stated, then he's prepared fully to commit that sin. Then he commits that sin. How much he's got capacity and power to do that. He commits that sin. And you're doing dhikr at the same time, because he has disobeyed Allah. And despite having all the righteous acts, praying tahajjud, reciting Quran, tilawat of Quran, all actions, nawafil, whatever stage he's on. But he would be surprised as well. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala prohibited him that protect your gaze. Shaitan is present. He will divert your gaze and attention. So we have to be careful. Like, look, this dunya, this world that we're living in, all the sins Allah has spread out, Allah has kept them for this reason, for us to develop and improve. And how will we be developed and improved? Through eating chapatis? How many chickens did you eat today? How many palau rice dishes did you eat? How many eggs did you eat? He had 5 eggs more. Okay, he's better. He should go to Jannah. No, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانْ. Allah says, he who is afraid of Allah, Allah says, not one. How many Jannahs will I give him? 2 Jannahs, 2 paradise, Allah says. He who is fear of Allah. This is the action. Khawf, fear of Allah. Allah says, who is afraid of me, who is fear of mine in his heart, and he's stopped himself from committing the wrong. Due to my fear, Allah says, he is protected, controlled his gaze. When Allah's khawf, fear is created, this is the point. The khawf of Allah is the great thing indeed. Tell me, khawf is the greatest thing, the fear of Allah. And for example, if I control my gaze, yeah, for example, I have no control, because there are 2 things, nafs and shaitan against me. They make me forget everything. I've done dhikr, I've done good deeds. They wipe away these things through the enjoyment of sin. The start, he opens the door. When you open the door to sin, then the thief will come in. When you open the door, when you're in hazard, and you open the door, thief will come in. If you look towards the wrong, then he comes in. Waswasa comes in. Then he's successful. Then they keep on brewing it and brewing it. They'll make you do zina, adultery, fornication. You know the punishment for that in the hadith is stated. There to make you a zani, a fornicator, adulteress, adulterer. Then where's his amal gone? The wasawis, and they work on him, and they brew. And the next day, he cross again, and then cross again, continually. Continually, friends, the man with wisdom is he, the first and foremost, he'll go to the jar, the root where the sin started. Because a mu'min's thoughts, why are they spoiled? Question doesn't arise. Why is he thinking wrong? He should see good dreams, he's just done dhikr, he's right Allah's name, such a great name, such a pure name, Allah's name. Tell me, how does he commit sin after that? Such a pure name, such a great name that it's Allah's name purifies the whole world, the universe. Allah's name. And you recite Allah's name 1 hour, you sit in Allah's dhikr. And after that, when you put the cross on your sheet, how sad, you put a cross for that sin. MashaAllah, you have got iman, you're trying, you send the correct report. There'll be another sin. For on top of that, you've committed sins and you fill the sheets incorrectly to please your sheikh. That's a bigger sin. No, do it correctly. But remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for he works hard or she works hard, Allah never leaves them empty handed. Allah never says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The words I'm telling you, that Allah Ta'ala has put them in my heart to share with you, to give you encouragement. To give you encouragement. Don't give up. Not to degrade you. No, 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 no. Rather, so that we can focus more. Allah says these are people who are working hard. They're making effort. So don't give up. Don't lose hope. Oh, we're gone. We're wasters. No. Allah Ta'ala is boosting you, giving you the fuel. Allah is giving you the fuel to those who work hard, who are trying. What is effort? Shaykh says, do this action, don't do this. What a beautiful system Allah has given. Beautiful system. And don't give up. Allah's promise is such, though whoever follows my path, I won't leave him empty handed. Okay? So from millions of people, you are better automatically straight away. Yes, that after sinning, for example, the people who are the common people, they sin with the eyes, evil gaze. They don't know what's the cure, how to stop it, how to prevent. All they know is I prayed salah. Oh, I've done this and that. Ramzan come, I've kept the fast. That's good enough for me. I've done this much dhikr. Oh, I've kept the beard. Oh, servants of Allah, think, sin. Through the actions, the amal, sins won't be forgiven. Rather, sins burn the good actions. To please Allah, to attain Allah's pleasure, the greatest path that we have to make more effort on, more than righteous deeds. Always keep this balance that I should be working harder on leaving the sins. My scale of leaving the sins should be heavier. Allah says, if you prayed 5 salah, alhamdulillah, if you prayed 5 salah, which is the fard, compulsory, if you've completed it, and after that all day long you don't commit a sin, then high class Jannah you will attain. High class. And all the other people will remain behind. Those who do sujood, the nawafil, they'll get nothing compared to you. Because out of fear of Allah, all day long you saved yourself from the sin. That's better. Harder worker. From morning till evening, the greatest deed you have to commit is to protect and save yourself from the sin. Even if you don't do any other actions, that's why our mashayikh ikram, honorable mashayikh, they don't say pray nafil, do this, extra keep fast, do this, nawafil, because they don't want to put you in delusion, deception. Through doing extra nawafil, then the murid, he falls into a trap. I'm doing all these actions. No, he knows inside the shaykh that he's got 5 salah, I'm not going to do more than that. So that's enough, that's it. So I don't get the false trap I fall in. And more effort in the khankas is placed on leaving the sins. Some pious predecessors, some of our pious elders, they have kashf, vision. They even see that their student, what sin has he committed. They can read on his forehead that the sin is committed before coming. So their treatment is different. Their course is different. We say with big heads, haughty, I've done dhikr, I'm pious, I do amal. No, when you sin, be ashamed. I put a cross, masjids, I'll go and do dhikr, then I'll do istighfar first, I've cried my sins, I'll ask Allah for forgiveness, inshallah, I'm not going to repeat this sin. How did I do this, that I've spoiled my day, that my face is burning in Jahannam, or whichever sin I did, look at the result, that what is the result of this sin I've committed, I've arrived there. How can this be? I've made my Rabb angry through my nafs. Says, no, you prayed tahajjud, you've done amal, say, don't talk rubbish. My shaykh has told me the truth. Don't talk rubbish to me, nafs. The reality is this, that I have made Allah unhappy through my sins, due to these sins. So, what should we work harder on? On the sins, leaving the sins, saving ourselves from the sins. So Allah Ta'ala has promised, subhanAllah, that she, out of my fear, saves his gaze, the evil gaze. Now here what we need to see. Look at the hadith here, the subject of the hadith, and alhamdulillah, you learn everything from the hadith. So Allah has given us a hint here, direction. Direction. There is a big sin, and the sin is severe. A person is totally gone when he looks with his eyes in the wrong way, either on his phone, on a screen, or in the marketplace, in the shopping center, man, woman, wherever he or she is looking. If he or she's eyesight falls on the wrong person, first gaze is forgiven, but when the person looks again, the punishment has been prescribed. So Allah Ta'ala says, to get out of that punishment, what is the cure? What is the cure? How can you be saved from the punishment of using your eyes in the wrong way. How do you save yourself from that sin? And it's not just for the young people, even the elders look in the wrong way. Old people, and they take full enjoyment. Oh, my son, if you're listening to me, he says to the woman, oh, you like my daughter, but inside he's got shahawat, passion, lust. The old man, he has it as well. Don't trust yourself ever. Old man, shaitan is the most cunning. So Allah Ta'ala in this hadith has stated that what is it that will save us from the evil gaze? What is it that will save us? Allah Ta'ala has told us himself that out of my fear, if you protect your gaze, so what will save us? Allah's khawf will save us from the wrong use of our gaze, eyes. If you have khawf in your heart, Allah Ta'ala's khawf has come and you'll be saved from this big sin. Rather, my khawf, Allah says, will save you from all the big sins. Allahu Akbar. So why do we do this? Why do we have a cross on our sin sheet? Because the khawf of Allah is not in our hearts. We don't have khawf in our hearts. Two reasons for having khawf. One is those who are working hard, then they're not getting to the conclusion of their hard work. They're just taking it slightly, that I have to just deliver my sheets and submit my sheets and put the ticks and the crosses. No, this is not the case. I've explained that be very careful, and when you submit your sheets, how many sins have I committed? What am I doing? How will I show myself? How will I present myself? If a cross comes, then give yourself punishment. The next day, this cross should not come again. Then you will realize, alhamdulillah, then how the improvement will come into you. What do you need for that? You need khawf, fear for this. Fear. Fear of Allah. So if we want that we can be saved from the sins, may Allah Ta'ala protect us from the sins, even if you got 5 times salah in the day, you've done the fard, and you leave, and the rest of the day you don't do any other righteous deed, but you protect yourself from the sin, then you need for one thing for that, that is khawf of Allah, fear of Allah. Now you will say, where do I get fear of Allah from? Allah prescribed in the Quran. Very easily told us, explained, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullakunu ma'asadiqeen. Subhanallah. Very clearly Allah has prescribed in the Quran. Explain. If you want taqwa, fear of Allah, you want to protect yourself from the sins, Allah says you cannot get it from anywhere else. Where will you get it from? Qunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Allah says, my beloved servants, the truthful, honest people, my beloved in the world, who today we term as awliya Allah, as the salaf, the elders, go and join with them. Go into their company. Qunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Allah says, ma. Ma'as-sadiqeen. Go and join. Adhere to the company Allah has given the solution as well. Subhanallah. Solution. So don't be afraid. Don't run around in the wilderness of the dunya. If Dajjal comes, fitna comes, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's explanation and prescription, if you follow it, doesn't matter how severe is the era you're in, nothing can spoil you. Nothing can spoil you. Nothing can spoil us. Alhamdulillah. But we make excuses. We make excuses that automatically yourself, you cannot rectify yourself. That how can I be saved from the dunya is too hard. How can I do this amal? How can I do this, leave this sin? No. With a true heart, you haven't gone to a wali Allah, pray 2 rakah nafal salah, and see to wali Allah, go with an honest heart. I want to do my salah. I want to rectify myself. I want to eliminate my sins. I want to please my Lord. Be honest with sincerity in niya when you go to your teacher, when you seek a teacher. I've come for this reason, O teacher. For your company, I have no other maqsad objective but to get this end point. The Allah Ta'ala has given tariqah, qunu ma'asadiqeen, seek my pious servants. The first thing when you go to the company of a wali Allah is that the khawf of Allah will come into your heart. That's the first result. When you go to a wali Allah with sincerity, then the khawf, the fear of Allah is generated in the heart. On your own, you cannot travel on this journey, tasawwuf. You cannot travel on this journey on your own. Yes, this path to get to Allah, you cannot do on your own. Even in the dunya, for example, when you go on a journey, it's a sunnah. When you go on a journey, you should have a colleague on the journey. It's good. In the dunya journey, you should have a colleague, an assistant, somebody with you. So don't you need an assistant, a colleague for the journey to the akhirah? Don't we need somebody to help us, assist us on that journey? Yes, you can't travel on your own. You cannot travel on your own on the path of love. There's a poem. You cannot travel alone on your own on the path of love. I'm going with you, come with me. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Tell me. He says, that why are you going on your own on this journey to Allah? You cannot travel on your own on the path of muhabbat. I go with you, come with me. Come, give your hand in my hand and travel with me. Why are you going on your own? Why are you going on your own? SubhanAllah. So isolation on your own, you cannot travel on this path to Allah. We think it's my choice. I can go to this teacher one day, leave this teacher that day, go to this person. Very essential, important point to understand in life, to protect yourself in this life, to decorate your hereafter, to attain Jannah, to attain paradise, to become the beloved servant of Allah. This is the tariqah. Allah says, "Kunu ma sadiqeen." You cannot get to me on your own. Until today, look at the history of Islam. No wali Allah became on his own. Tell me, show me the proof. Bring the whole list of the Qabreen, pious predecessors, Salafus Salihin, such great alim scholars. Tell me, has a Shaykh Rashid Ahmad Gogoi, has a Tanvi Sahib, has a Saharanpuri, Rahmatullah, where did they go? Did they become on their own? They had uloom, knowledge, hadith, Quran, everything. For them, it wasn't hard for them to attain Allah's nearness. They loved their tariqah, salah, masail, they taught people all the shortcuts they knew. Yes, great kitabs they wrote, but they didn't travel on this path on their own. On the path of love, they did not go on their own. They could not go in isolation. Come on, put your hand into the hand. Eventually, they went and took the hand of Haji Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, their teacher, and they were proud that we're so grateful, Allah, your wali's companies come to us, so we can also go on this path. And openly they called out, announced that due to Haji Sahib, our Sheikh, we've attained Allah's name. Not through my kitabs, they said. Not did through my kitabs. Have I saved myself from this? Not my ilm. I saved myself. No, this darvesh, this wali Allah saved us from the sins. They claim this. These great pious elders. Look at the examples. Someone says today, I'm a scholar, I'm learned, I'm this and that. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what knowledge you've got, what generation you live in. Nothing can spoil us if we follow the right tariqah and steps that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed. And for me to say that Allah has ordered قُونُ مَا صَادِقِينَ, go to the company of the pious people, then do you think Allah Ta'ala will leave this era devoid of the sadiqeen? How can it be? If Allah said in the Quran, then they are here, my brothers. Even if you go to the poles, this is Bolton, Manchester, England. Even if you go to the poles, North Pole, South Pole, and say to Allah, I want your nearness, there Allah will send His wali to come into your company. SubhanAllah. Because Allah has promised, Allah Ta'ala has to fulfill His sunnah. If whatever you are, wherever you are, look, understand this point I'm saying. Every Muslim, the path is open. You're alim, scholar, muhaddith, muballigh, teacher. Doesn't matter what work, career path, subject matter of the deen you are propagating. You can't do it on your own. That say, I'm doing this and I've arrived to Allah. I'm doing this work of the deen, I'm saved from the sins. It is impossible. It cannot be, because it's in opposition to the Quranic verse. If you don't follow the guidance of the Quran and you don't adopt the travel journey in your life based on the Quranic verse, then you are living a life of delusion, deception. Quran clearly says, if you want to adopt the right path, then as-sirat al-mustaqim, then in every era, generation, you need to seek a guide who will guide you to the right path. You have to seek the guide. And when you travel with him, follow his guidance, then the first thing that comes, alhamdulillah, taqwa will come into you, and you will protect yourself, you will guard yourself. Taqwa, fear of Allah, that khawf that will come, Allahu Akbar. The fear of Allah that will come by sitting in the company of the wali Allah. That sin in which, through which we get taste and enjoyment, the sins that give us enjoyment and feel good, that same sin will become poison for us and we'll run away. And we'll hate it, that sin. We'll hate that sin. We'll start disliking that sin. That at this moment in time, that sin, so no, it's hard for me to leave it, it's too difficult. No, yaar, how can I leave cannabis? Oh, how can I leave looking at the girls? How can I leave drinking alcohol? Oh, you know, I'm talking about the big sins, how can I leave this and X, Y, Z? I swear by Allah, these sins are nothing. These sins are nothing. Just make the niyyah, even if you don't make niyyah. The pious elder says, even if you don't make intention, just go to the waliyah, that's enough for you to start that journey. Just arrive to the company of the wali Allah. Allah's promised. You don't even make the intention. Don't even think about leaving that sin. Just go to the company of that wali Allah. Yes, that, how can it be that the sins will evaporate into the thin air when you go to the company of the wali Allah? Because Allah says, as soon as you arrive to the company of my wali, of my pious servant, then that sin, those sins will be eliminated, evaporated, and it will go upside down, flip side. Just like you enjoyed it to commit the sin, subhanAllah. Say subhanAllah. Just like prior to that, you used to enjoy yourself doing the sins. What will happen after that? That you will get more enjoyment in leaving the sins. Shunning the sins. In shunning the sins, you will get massive enjoyment. I swear by Allah. You say, yaar, how did I do these sins before? What is this waste of time, man? How do you start reciting la hawla wala quwwata illa billah? Those same sins we did, enjoying ourselves, running after them, taste music, yeah, music's good, or go there, spending money on haram and lawful actions. But when you sit in the company of wali Allah, then the enjoyment in shunning the sins is many times multiplied over and above the enjoyment you felt when you did the sin. Subhanallah. So today, why sins have overtaken us and we're mixed up, our salah is spoiled, we got takabbur, pride, I'm pious, I'm praying salah, I do amal. Alhamdulillah, good, you do deeds, there's no doubt, your amal are good. They are good, we have to do amal, obviously we have to practice good deeds, but how are we wasting our sins, burning them? We're going into the imbalance, the minus. We want protection of our deeds and don't go into the negative balance sheet. We want the nur of our deeds, number one. And in the hereafter, we want the right conclusion. Then the tariqah the Quran's prescribed. Then live your life according to that. Number one, seek a guide, a teacher. Don't travel on your own. And after that, alongside that, learn the tariqah, the method that he has taught to you. That whatever he tells you, follow that guidance points. However he desires you to live and practice your life, follow those instructions. Here, shaitan will trap you as well. He'll attack you as well, shaitan. When you've got the guide, and the guide he tells you against your shaykh teacher, shaitan for waswasa, whispering, with taklif, shaitan's feeling hard times now. Shaykh's guiding my client, but just like Quran says, pray salah, fast. In the Quran as well, I am implementing the Quran. You should say to yourself, that I am following my teacher, my sheikh's instructions. This is the Quranic instruction. I want to be saved, that's why I'm following a teacher. If I don't do that, then how will I be saved? Impossible, I'll be saved on my own. Impossible. So brothers, today, you give nasiha to people, give to yourself nasiha as well. That me, I should find a guide, a teacher, and a teacher is that your sort of characteristics should meet with a teacher. You should have compatibility. For example, if I'm sad, you say, if you come to me, oh, I'm going to someone to find a teacher, oh, I'm going to do bayah with you. Does your heart feel attraction to that teacher? Is there compatibility? Do you like him? Is it a mutual thing? Yes, it's like a nikah, a bond. I've accepted you and you've accepted me. It's a mutual attraction. Without nikah, can you get married? The girl says, I don't like you, and you say you like her. And if you say, I've married you, and she says, I've not accepted you, is the nikah completed? No. So if you force to make murids, come, become murid, and you grab the hand, put the into the hand, and he doesn't become a murid, and he doesn't become the sheikh. Forcing the person, no. The enjoyment is that in thinking about your teacher, you're crying that my teacher, my guide, in his remembrance, you should feel that you're devoid of company. Your heart should be so attracted that without that teacher's guidance, you're not satisfied. Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Ramtan, Hazrat Saranpuri Ramtalai, they used to meet each other, they'd go and sit down. And this is an example of our pious elders. And he'd say, why have you come? He said, why have you come? They asked each other. They were both students of the same teacher. They were ashamed. He said, shall I tell you the truth? Why I come to meet you? He said, I felt like I come and meet you so we can sit down together and talk about Haji Sahib, our Sheikh. Subhanallah. So that's, they remembered their Sheikh. This happens, isn't it? You know, for example, if the person, he sells gold, the other one sells gold. When they meet each other, they talk about gold, their transaction, their shop, their business, because they have a common factor, denominator, and they love each other for the sake of their trade. One sells cars, the other one sells cars, they talk about cars. So one person loves another person, and the other person, both murid students, when they meet each other, first and foremost, both are Sheikhs, they speak about their Sheikh, their teacher. Compatibility. So this is the way to attain Allah's nearness. This is the reality of Allah's love. Yes, hours they used to sit with each other and talk about Haji Sahib, their Sheikh, sat with each other. Yes, now Masala, Masail, taking points. What great scholars they were. But what they're talking about? Haji Sahib. Oh, we remember that time we were Haji Sahib. He said this to you, he said this to me. Is it if today even, Alhamdulillah, if I meet a peer by a colleague of mine, if from Dera Ghazi Khan somebody comes and Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Sahib's dialogue starts, my Sheikh, we start talking about my teacher. Oh, you know, Hazrat, Jante, yes, he. Oh, what happened? Garai Sharif, the village, we start talking about the past. Similar, such love, do we have this? Yes, that's when the success will come. Yes? Because this is Allah's path, my brothers. Not Layla you're running after. It's not some muhabbat, love of the dunya. This is the love of the servant of Allah with his wali. This ishq, how can anything compare to this? Tell me. Can any love compare to the love between a student and a sheikh? All of these things I'm explaining to important points because we have not much time. So create this burning rage within us, this passion of love. We need to develop this, that I am immersed in the remembrance and love of my Sheikh. Wasawis, get rid of the whispering. If true love comes in the heart, then no waswasa comes against the teacher. No waswasa comes. Subhanallah. Never. That, for example, have the tears come out of your eyes out of the love of your Sheikh, that I haven't seen my Sheikh for 2 days. I haven't seen him for a day. Tawbah. Some people, that today we don't even think, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, such a relationship. 2 days if a murid doesn't go, then the next day the Sheikh comes in his dream, Subhanallah. Tell me. Yes, because this is the love, the path of Allah's love. Yes, create the current, create that burning rage and the heat within you, mashallah. Very easily you can get this. Ask us, alhamdulillah. All lifelong I spent, that from here I traveled to Garai Sharif. Just to see my teacher, my Hazrat, my Sheikh, not one day. For years this practice continued, that bringing up my children, running my shop, my business. Not this, that I used to claim social security or sit at home. I used to run my business, my shop, myself. And I used to look after my children, I used to do ta'leem of my children, education, and running the home. I didn't just leave everything. No, this is not in our sunnah, in our deen. And everything Allah Ta'ala says, that you follow the path of my love, and every difficulty of yours will become easy. And the taste and enjoyment would come as a result of that. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So this is the path of love, is ajeeb, unique. There's no difficulty in this, my brothers, no difficulty at all. Just like a person, he stands in the at the bank of the ocean or the river, and he wants to dive in. People say, why don't you dive in? And he says, no, I'm afraid. Jump in. And those people who know to tread the water, then he jumps into the water, the person, and he's treading the water, and he doesn't sink. He goes, oh, he's treading the water, because he's learned. So the ashik, the lover, he jumps in suddenly into the water. He jumps. Now, I've got no fear. I've got nothing to fear. Subhanallah. The akal doesn't understand the message, but the ishq will overtake, the love will overtake. Even when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was told that this fire, how long it's been burning, and you'll be thrown into there. He said, thrown into the fire? Quickly, quickly, throw me in. Throw me, he said. Yes, because this fire that you consider fire, it's not that fire, this is the fire of love. Subhanallah, and I'm ready to go into that fire. Ibrahim alayhi salam. So, Fir'aun, yes, the son of a slave, or the child of a slave, and he threw that child of the slave into the hot oil. You've heard of this event, to the hot boiling oil, and she's screaming. He said, I've put your child in the oil, now it's your turn. The child says, from the oil, mother, there's no more beautiful place than this. You come quickly as well into this. Subhanallah. Ishq, love, overtakes the rage of the fire. Akal doesn't understand. The wisdom will keep on making you afraid. Oh, it'll make you leave the sins. Don't go to that teacher. Why are we afraid of the walis of Allah? Oh, he'll make us leave the sins. He'll make you keep the beard. He'll make you do this. Every sin, we love it so much, we're afraid of leaving the sin. And out of that fear, we don't go to the company of the wali of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Imagine this. Sin is so tasty and enjoyable to us that we are afraid of going to the wali Allah. He'll make us wear the imamah. He'll make us keep the beard. Oh, he'll say, do this action, leave this, and I'm not going there, yaar. Imagine love for the sins. Love for the sins. And when you jump into the ocean, you go into that ocean, then alhamdulillah, then he's immersed. Immersed, and the reverse situation comes in. Subhanallah. And he's saved from that sin, saved from this sin, that sin. Today he's got dhikr. Today he's understood these words. Today the love Allah Rasulullah has come into the heart is increased, and he's got enjoyment out of that. So upside down, the flip side comes. So Allah Ta'ala stated, how will we cure ourselves? Solution, out of khawf. Then in the hadith, Allah Ta'ala has explained, the hadith has come to me, so I'm speaking to you about this. No, I'm not a mufassir, I'm not Shaykhul Hadith. That whatever's come into my heart, I'm just sharing that with you, Subhanallah. So it's not about fatwas, not that I'm explaining the hadith to you. Only those people whose occupation is, we are just ashik, and we're just talking about the love of the deen here. Yeah, we're not muhaddith, nor do I know the hadith. Yes, so Allah Ta'ala has stated, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu's hadith, Tabrani in Hakim. He said that Allah Ta'ala said, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that Allah Ta'ala has announced that when out of my fear, you protect your gaze, what will I do? Allah says, Allahu Akbar. Your iman will be made the best. Subhanallah. Improved. Is there anyone here? Tell me any action that you can claim that it will improve your iman. Tell me. There's no amal such like this. You cannot do it. That will make your iman the best. So haven't all the amal you've done made you fail? Which amal has gone the best? Subhanallah. Tazkiyah, purification, fear of Allah. That's gone above and overtaken the practicing, worshipping. So the biggest amal now, the greatest deed, is to develop the fear of Allah. Because when you start doing this, the fear of Allah comes into you. And where will that come from? From taqwa. In other words, to have the company of a wali Allah. So this amal, Allah's prescribed, explained. You find a teacher and join with him. And take him as your guide and follow the path to Allah through the company of the shaykh. Then this amal is the greatest amal. How much does it increase? That due to this amal, the fear of Allah will come in your heart. And through the fear of Allah in your heart, you'll stop doing sins. And then your iman will become the best iman, Allah says. The best iman. So, Jannah will be attained via iman. So if a person is being told by Allah, and Allah is saying via the blessed tongue of Rasulullah, Allah says, you tell them, oh my Mahbub, that will make that person's iman the best. Then in comparison to that best iman, imagine the Jannah that person will earn. What Jannah will it be? That Allah Ta'ala is explaining, the best Jannah, it will be the best abode. Isn't this the great result of the sohbat of the shaykh, my friends? That we should have love for this then, shouldn't we? This action of having a shaykh, company of the shaykh, I'm repeating many times so we understand. Don't think it's peer, murid, he's the peer, he's the shaykh, he's baya there, he's running after a shaykh, he's got a student, dirk is happening there. This is not my tariqah, my methodology. My methodology is ashiki. The love is the attachment, falling in love with the guy. Understanding that the action, not waste of time actions. Yes? And this is how a person improves. Say, Subhanallah. Do you understand my words, or am I just talking for the sake of it? Is it coming into your hearts, what I'm saying? Yes, this is the tariqah. Allah is prescribing the tariqah. That my beloved servant, my guy, the Shaykh, the Waliyullah, if you go to him, Allah says, your maqam be such, you'll get the best iman. And listen further, the next reward, that even that you will attain, Allah says. I'm repeating, I'm not a muhaddith, but I'm presenting the hadith in front of you. Yes, otherwise I could say the hadith says this, but the meaning of the hadith keeps coming to me and I'm sharing it with you. When it stops, then I will stop. Yeah, that's why it's coming, so I carry on. So let's look at the next point. What is Allah Ta'ala saying next? The best iman I will give to you, Allah says, and Allahu Akbar, this iman, the taste of this iman, you will feel and you will sense this taste, the sensation. So you will learn this now, that for example, have you ever felt the taste of your deeds? You will taste the mangoes, you will taste the grapes, you will taste halwa, you will taste gajar halwa, or this halwa, immediately you'll feel the taste of these foodstuffs and the sweet, isn't it? But the most sweetest thing of all, Allahu Akbar. In the world, there's nothing that can compare with the sweetness of this. What is that? What is that? Iman. We don't even know how sweet is Iman. Why is it sweet? Because in this is the name of Allah. That's why. Yes, we don't even know it was Allah's name because our tongue is spoilt. Our tongue is spoilt. Such a sweet name. Mulana Rumi, I think, or somebody said, that is so sweet, Allah's name, so sweet that when I recite Allah's name once, my whole body and ruh becomes sweet and melts with the sweetness, because the taste of the sweetness of Iman has come into that person. The taste, the sweetness of Iman has come. Allah says, you will feel the sweetness of Iman. When you pray Salah, at that time you will be desperate. Then when you do dhikr, you'll be desperate. And when you recite Quran, you'll be desperate in every amal. You'll become mad in love of the sweetness of Iman. This is how the deeds will become so beloved. You remember? I remember Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi would go to a pious person. Aqabireen, we should talk about our pious elders as well as we're speaking. Hazrat Abdul Rahman Gansha Muradabadi Rahmatullahi. I think if this is his correct name. Rahmatullahi, very great wali of Allah of his time. So Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi would go to visit him to get fares, blessings to his company. He was younger than him. Younger than him, Hazrat Muradabadi in India at that time. So once he said, I was sat there, he said, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib said himself, I was sat, and Muradabadi Sahib Ramdhari said, Ashraf Ali, he said, Ji Hazur, Ji Your Highness, he said, shall I tell you something? And he's explaining, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib, is he lying? Are they lying that he said this? Is he lying? He said, Ashraf Ali, let me tell you something. He said, just please tell me. He said, such a situation has developed now. Shah Abdul Rahman, Muradabadi said that such a situation has developed now, Ashraf Ali, that when I do such the prostration, Then wallahi, I swear by Allah, that time my feeling, emotion is such, and this is my feeling at that time, that I feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me love at that time. Affection. And he started crying. He said, this is my feeling now. And this is the hadith. That time when a mu'min does sajda prostration, then he is prostrating in the court of Allah. He's placing his head there. Tell me, the leaf bottle, forget, I talk about dunya. When, for example, you have a big shop, you go there in the morning, and there's a rush outside, customers, clients, when you open the shop with the key, you'll be happy so much. Subhanallah, there are customers outside, droves of them. You open the shutters, you'll be intoxicated with happiness. Yaar, I'm going to make money today. You'll be enjoying yourself. So tell me, those people have got the love of Allah in their heart, and iman is complete and laziz, and when they do sajda, imagine the enjoyment in their sajda. Imagine that amal. SubhanAllah, we don't even know about this amal. That the Kaaba, when you do sajda, is there any sweetness and taste? We just say, oh, we've done sajda then. Kiss the stone. We just do kiss the stone and do sajda in front of the Kaaba. No lazzat, no enjoyment, no sweetness. Myself, those pious elders, my sheikh, I sat with Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi. What was his feeling? That SubhanAllah, he was old at that time, zaif and weak and mourning. My sheikh, from tahajjud time till the middle of the night, he sat there just for 2 hours. He'd depart from there for his to fulfill his needs and come back and sit there. And I saw him, not once, never saw him change the position he's sitting, changing this posture or that posture, like we move our legs to sit in a different position, etc. He'd come and sit in one position, pray in nafal salah, and the prayer mat I would put out. He'd sit, he'd pray the nafal, he'd sit down, wrap his blanket around him, and then he would sit in opposite Rukna Yamani, the Yamani corner. That was our khas special position. He'd sit opposite Rukna Yamani, the corner of Yamani, and Allah Akbar, he was immersed, and then he'd open his eyes when it was time for salah. All his life I saw this. And what did he see? This Kaaba, he's looking at the same Kaaba. The Jalliyat-e Rabbani, the magnificence of Allah descending. Same eyes as us, same food, same drinking, everything's the same. He was like us, human being, body, but his heart had iman inside it. The sweetness of iman had come. Why? Because fear of Allah he had developed through his Shaykh Fazal Ali Qureshi rahmatullah alayhi. By looking and taking the sohbat of his Shaykh, my teacher said, he went into the company of his Shaykh, and the khawf of Allah came in his heart, and that Allah promised, I'll give you that taste, that you will feel that taste of iman, the sweetness of iman. So the Kaaba, the Jalawat, Allah Ta'ala's magnificence that descends, how can anyone eliminate that? That is such a unique place. Tell me. So imagine Hazrat Sahib's hal, my sheikh. No eating, no drinking, no interest in anything. I didn't see him eat. I didn't see him drink. No zamzam water, no dates. He didn't see those things happening there. In Hazrat Sahib's tea break, food break, khajur time, zamzam, give me this and that. No, he wasn't worried about those things. He had no interest, no eating and drinking. He didn't go there for eating and drinking. Such a person, just by looking at his face, all your lataif become alive. The points of your mind. All my life I used to see him. Tell me, what will be the hal of sitting in his company? That he had looked after us, otherwise people like us, impure people, how could we sit there? We weren't worthy of that. So I saw this with my bare eyes. So what was that? It's the same hadith I'm sharing with you. That when Allah's khawf comes into a person, that he had protected his gaze. Not that he looks here, just looks there quickly. No, finished. Enjoyment gone. Not looking with lust out with the eyes. Lower the gaze. Allah says you want to be saved and protected from the evil gaze of the eyes. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, very easy. And we also say, Naqshbandi silsila, Shaykh, that every footstep you take, lower your gaze. Make it innocent, your gaze. Do you understand? Like the bachelor. Hide yourself. Hide your gaze. Where? Hide your gaze at your footsteps. Keep looking down. That's it. Don't lift your gaze above your feet. You should know where the second path is. You should just know where your footsteps are. That's it. That, what's the way here? They're there. Don't lift up and look around. Seal your eyesight. Look down towards your feet and we'll be looking here, there. Which shop is this open? Who's here? What's the price of this? We start looking at the shops or we're looking more at the women. Rather, Mulana Sahib, we realized he's looking here. So his beard's gone. Imam is gone. Oh, you're this shop, how many? And inside is right, not looking at the shop, he's looking who's inside the shop. Yeah? He's got, what association has got which shop is open today? Look at the trickery of shaitan. Because with every gaze, there's a hadith. With every gaze, he sat shaitan on every gaze of it, he sat on top of it. He doesn't want to leave you empty-handed and make you do such a sin. You'll get punishment, you'll have no iman, no sweetness. Nothing will remain in his accounts, books. You'll have no amal. He makes us do those sins. So my brothers, what we need to do is to protect our gaze. The khabasa, the evil wretchedness of the gaze, we need to save ourselves from that. So the first thing here, point is, the first and foremost, we should lower our gaze always. Keep your gaze looking down at your feet when you're outside, when you're going to work. Practice this. Practice this. Allah Ta'ala immediately will generate the feeling. It's not hard. Nothing's hard. You won't bump into anyone. You won't stumble. Look straight ahead and down and keep walking. Don't look left and right. The habit will go. Don't look at fuzul, wasteful things. And secondly, telephone. Using the telephone. Very dangerous. Control the use of the phone. Alhamdulillah. And the sheet system. You've got assessment sheet. Don't just fill like with enjoyment. Tick, tick, tick. Feel the pain in the heart of the sins. Allah's watching you. That my servant, is he working hard or not? You understand what I'm saying? Not that, Allah, I haven't got this, you haven't given this in this world, I'm just going to do this. I'm forced to do sins, I'm young. It's attraction. No, it's Allah's test. In this state of youth, the more you control yourself, then according to your youth, Allah will elevate your status. Subhanallah. The more hardship you experience and incur, and you stop the sin, that is very hard for you. With that hardship, you are leaving the sin. Allah is Allah, the master controller. He will give you the reward according to your situation. He'll give you a taste of your mind. You say, in this environment, it's hard for me to keep the beard. I'll go out. What will people say? Allah said, this is the enjoyment. You are grateful to me. On the day of judgment, you'll be grateful, Allah, that you elevated my status so great. You gave me an easy solution in the world. Whoever Allah Ta'ala wants to give a higher grade, elevated status, Allah puts him into difficulty in the world. Remember this point. Remember this. Allah puts you into difficulty in the world. And then Allah says, now is your challenge and test. If you pass this test and severity, and you remain steadfast, then your darajat, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَابَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ, Allah says, جَنَّتَان, multiplied, you'll become the owner of two jannas. Yes, that Allah Ta'ala says, Mullah Al-Qari rahmatullahi wrote a beautiful point. This point just come to my mind. Mullah Al-Qari rahmatullahi said that, you know, Jannah, that when you reject sins, that is why you get Jannah. Do you understand what I'm saying? That a person, that when you commit a sin and you save yourself from the sin, Allah Ta'ala, due to you shunning the sin, Allah has made a separate paradise. There's a separate paradise for Salah. And this is the Jannatan. Mullah Al-Qali in his tafsir said, the Jannatan, the second Jannah, is due to shunning the sins. So this is a high grade abode, isn't it? If we save ourselves from sins, the higher maqam, higher status, higher station. So we have to work hard on this, try hard. Not just this routine life, do what you feel like. No, what we need to see and assess, that we've done a little bit of ibadah. Just do the fard, that's enough, alhamdulillah. That's enough. And work the rest of the time, effort on shunning the sins. All day long, then complete your sheets, check it, assess it. If alhamdulillah, you're correct, be grateful, Allah, millions of times, Allah, I'm grateful to you that you give me success today. And today, the rewards you've given to me for this, inshallah, they'll be very high indeed. This is the case, isn't it? And those people who aren't following the sheet system, then Allah is their owner maybe. They don't know what's the objective, what should they do, how to live the life, where we come, why is Hazrat Sahib my Shaykh, what's my objective, just a routine. No, don't do this. Do this. Hakiki, accept something, intentions right, do things correctly. Allah Ta'ala values that. Allah Ta'ala values a person who works hard in the right way. So don't worry. Don't worry. The rest is up to you. If you understand or don't understand, just follow your routine, your nerves. Nah, forget that. I'm praying Salah. I don't need to follow this guidance. But do what you want then. But this is the reality and truth that I'm telling you. The right message I've given today. If you pay attention on these words of today, then inshallah you'll understand that how much time we've got. What is that thing? That when you have a Shaykh, a Peer, have such a Shaykh who assists you. Assists you and helps you, explains to you the right things. Number one, you and him, the Shaykh and the student, your heart should meet. Shouldn't be upset from what he says. You should be happy with what he says. If he's strict with you, you should be happy. You should love him. If a mother slaps the child runs back to the mother. You see that. Even then running, crying, because he loves the mother, the child. That's the ishq you should have love with the Shaykh and the murid, that he should run back into the embrace of the Shaykh. He should run back to the guidance of the Shaykh. Even if he's been scolded, then he tells him, you're disrespectful. Then he should run back to the student. This is the love of Allah that takes him back. This is the love of Allah. Do dua that Allah Ta'ala instills this love into us. Generates his love, have such love for the sake of Allah, alhamdulillah, that through these actions our sins can be eliminated, Allah's khawf can come into our hearts. And this is the maqsad, that we go to the walis of Allah, to the company, take their hands, do mujahidat and make effort. May Allah Ta'ala accept our words and discussion. May Allah give us the tawfiq to practice on this. Ameen. Recite the Rushdie.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahirrahmanirrahim. salatu wassalamu ala sayyidil mursaleen shafi'il mursaleen taha yasin al-habibil mubin Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyyil ummi wa azwajihi ummatil mu'minin wa dhurriyyatihi wa ibadihi kama sallaita ala ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa sallim tasliman daiman abadan Allahumma fir lana zunubana wa zulmana wa hazlana wa jaddana wa khatwana wa amadana inda zalik La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nasta'in Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nasta'in Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nasta'in Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa innam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab Allahumma sammitna lal iman wa ummitna lal iman wa ashirna yawmal qayamati ma'al iman Allahumma inna ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika ya qadiyal hajat iktahajatina ya dawiyal baliyat itfa balayatina ya shafiyal amurad ishfa amuradina Hamare saath hi zikr kiya unki bahut choti bachi hai kafi bimar hai hospital mein hai unke liye dua farmaye allah pak us bachi ko sehat ka maraz naseeb farmaye ya shafi allah murad ishfa muradina ya shafi allah murad ishfa muradina ya shafi allah murad ishfa muradina Allahumma afina fi badni Allahumma afina fi sami Allahumma afina fi basri La ilaha illa anta Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina Qurrata ayun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama Allahumma rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين